Tonight, I want to begin a new study for the next however many months it takes us to do this, but we're going to be studying the book of John. I want to begin with this tonight in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible tonight. And as we begin this series of studies, I want to speak about three things. One, Jesus is the pre-existent Word. Secondly, Jesus is the personalized Word. And thirdly, Jesus is the proclaiming Word. These three things for this evening. Now, most Bible scholars believe the Gospel of John was penned by this aged apostle, and this is important, in the year 85 AD. Now, if you've been coming, as we started last Wednesday night, to look at the apologetics of the faith, a lot of people look at the word apologetics and they think, well, that just means you're giving an apology. No, that's not what apologetics is. Apologetics is you are defending the faith, or you're contending for the faith. And so your defense out there to the world is you share all of these things of why you are defending your faith. And as we are looking on Wednesday evenings about how the New Testament books came into being and why they were put in the canon of Scripture that you and I have, it's greatly important that you and I understand that the 27 books of the New Testament that made it into our canon of Scripture is because they had to be written by an apostle or an associate of an apostle, and they had to be penned by before the year 100 AD. If they were penned after that, and there were some 40 to 65 other gospels that were written and penned after that first century, they did not qualify to go into the canon of Scripture. And it's so important that you and I understand, here's John. We just got through studying the book of Revelation. And most Bible scholars believe that it was penned by 95 AD, once again falling in the demarcation of the time of the resurrection of Christ up to the year 100. So all 27 books in the New Testament fell within that range of period of time after the resurrection of Jesus. That otherwise, they would not have qualified and put it into the canon of Scripture. So most scholars believe that the book of John that we're reading about and studying about these next several months was written in about 85 AD. It was the last of the four Gospels written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, by the time John's Gospel was being circulated out there in the Christian community, the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they were already common household words. People the world over had already read the accounts of the life of Christ as Matthew recorded them, as Luke recorded them, as Mark recorded them. Now, the first three Gospels, and it's important that you and I understand, when somebody is standing and speaking, and if they speak about the Synoptic Gospels, S-Y-N-O-P-T-I-C, Synoptic Gospels, it begins with S-Y-N, meaning that the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, are seen together. These three gospels contain many of the same stories and teachings, but each one of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, wrote them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit from the angle in which they tell the stories of the life of Christ and the teachings of Christ. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the synoptic gospels. John, on the other hand, shows a different side of Christ that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not show. And so therefore, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels in that they are seen as the same because they have the same, many of the same stories, many of the same teachings, but they just tell it from their point of view as led by the Holy Spirit. John, this apostle that wrote the book of John, he also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John here in the New Testament. He also wrote the book of Revelation. So John, this apostle that was the last one to leave the cross the day that Christ died. Remember all those other apostles? They ran. They tucked tail, if you will, and went and hid in the upper room because they were afraid they would be associated with Christ and they would be the next ones hanging on a Roman cross. And they all got scared and they ran away. Not John. John stayed at the cross. John stayed there as Jesus hung on the cross and made sure that Jesus's mother Mary would be cared for. And Jesus places Mary into the hands of John to take care of her all the rest of her days. This John is the one that he refers to in his book as the beloved disciple. That's the way John refers to himself. And so tonight, as we look at the book of John, the first 18 verses, John was a part of the inner circle of Christ. There were a handful of the disciples that just were closer in being with Christ, wanting to be with him all the time. And so we see some of these disciples that are in the inner circle of Christ. It would be like you. Some of you have your high school friends that you still keep in contact that are in your inner circle. Some of you would still have college friends from college days that would be in your inner circle. Some of you would have people in your inner circle with from your kids' sports events because they have kids in sports events. You have kids in sports events. Jesus had some of those apostles that were in his closer inner circle, and it was because they so desired to be with him and to have a closer relationship with him. Now, in John's gospel, we see a new facet here from his point of view of Christ. He gives the divinity of Christ as characteristics. And in these opening verses, he is going to paint for you and me a picture of Jesus. Now, these three truths that you and I can learn from this tonight. First of all, Jesus is the pre-existent word. Pre meaning before. Notice in verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now I want you to notice right there. All three of those that say Word are all capitalized. It's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's referring to his pre-existence in the world. Now, notice Jesus is the constant word there. According to verse 1, Jesus has always existed. He didn't just come into being down at a place called Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He has always been throughout all of the endless ages of eternity past. Notice in verse 1, in the beginning was, the word was means that he's always been. He's the constant. He's the unchanging Word of God. And that's why you and I can count on Jesus, because he will never fail us. He will never leave us. He is a present help in our time of trouble. Carla couldn't have put it better in the song that she's saying. He's been faithful, faithful in every situation. It doesn't mean that he took every situation away, but he was faithful to be there, standing somewhere, as the old song says, in the shadows. You'll find Jesus. Let me tell you, he's always there. He's always been. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 5, there's a phrase that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is the constant word. But notice in verse 1b, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That verse says Jesus was with God. He was present there in the heavenlies, in the presence of God in eternity past. But he stood there yet as a distinct part of the Godhead, in the part that God would play through Jesus to bring redemption into the world. The way that God would come through the second part of the Godhead, the way God would act in the character of Jesus Christ to bring sinful man into a relationship with a holy God. Jesus was there when God moved to make man in his own image there in Genesis 1:26. Jesus was there in heaven when the plan to redeem the world was formulated in the heart of God. Since before time ever was, Jesus Christ was with the Father in heaven. Let me tell you, he's also the controversial word. Notice in verse 1, the last phrase, and the Word was God. Now, when Jesus came preaching repentance, men thought he was strange. That's what Mark tells us in Mark 1:15. When Jesus began to heal and perform miracles, men thought he was a prophet sent by God, as John tells us in chapter 3 and verse 2. When Jesus spoke the word of God with power, men thought he was amazing. Luke records that in Luke 4:36. But here's the clincher. When Jesus claimed to be equal with God, men thought he was crazy. When Jesus claimed to be equal with God, to be God himself in human flesh, that's where they went awry from him. They could not, as the song said, they could not conceive that. They could not understand that. John speaks about that over in John chapter 19, verse 7, we'll eventually get to. Jesus stopped being a blessing and became a controversial figure when he claimed to be God in human flesh. John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, speaking of Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Jesus was confronting Philip. How can you, Philip? How can you not know me? How can you not have seen the Father but through me? And men today still grapple with these truths. Remember when Jesus went before Pilate and Pilate asked the penetrating, probing question? When he said, "What is truth? What is truth?" Folks, let me tell you, that's what the world is saying tonight. That's what culture is trying to dictate to you and to me, to say truth is anything you want it to be. The secular world, the worldview out there of the world would be truth is just relevant to the individual. Relevant in the moment. If it's okay for you, then it's okay. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." And today, we see that they are unwilling to accept the humble Christ and the teaching of Christ and the meekness of Christ. This world does not want to serve this Christ. And they will not give acknowledgement to the God-man, Jesus Christ. But God is still God. He's 100% God. And when he came to the earth and robed himself, manifested himself in human flesh, he was 100% man, all wrapped up in one, the God-man, yet without sin in his humanity. Notice what Paul said to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." In this morning's Sunday school lesson, when Satan had come to Jesus on the third temptation, and he took him up on a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world. Satan, a created being of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. Satan was a created being. It wasn't his to give. But let me tell you what Satan was trying to do at that moment. He was trying to get Jesus to worship him and bypass, take a shortcut away from the cross, and that would have done in redemption. Jesus, God, robed in human flesh, came and dwelt among us. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8 there that we've just read, Paul is very clear. Paul is very concise that Jesus existed long, long, long before he ever came to Bethlehem, and that he willingly humbled himself and came into this world in the condition of a servant. Jesus is God in human flesh. A few moments ago in that prayer that I prayed, when somebody shared with me this past week, I wake up every morning and say, God, what can I do for you today? You see, that's servantship. Jesus came as a humble servant. He came as an example to you and to me that we too might be servants to humanity. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me live for others that I might live like thee. But notice in verse 2 and 3, he was in the beginning with God. Speaking of Jesus. Verse 3, all things were made through him. Satan said, if you'll look out over there and fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. It wasn't Satan's to give. And all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Let me tell you, Jesus was the energy behind the creation of the universe. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, he spoke and it was. He stood on the edge of nothing. And as S.M. Lockridge would have said many years ago, y'all remember him, S.M. Lockridge, the black preacher from California. We had him at Emmanuel. I'll never forget the day S.M. spoke. He talked about God taking and hanging the stars and the moon and the sun and the galaxies and the planets out there suspended in space. He created them and he flung them into existence and they stayed. Let me tell you, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 17, Paul said, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him. Notice, and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. I don't know about you, but that gives me great pause tonight. That gives me great comfort tonight. What about you? Let me tell you, he created it all. And as we hear that old song, he's got the whole wide world in his hands. Let me tell you, the World Economic Forum may think they've got it in their hands. The Bilderberg Group may think they've got it in their hands. Washington, D.C. may think they've got it in their hands, but I want you to know there is a God in heaven, and he rules in the kingdoms of men. Let me tell you what, even tonight, as bad as the world is in all areas, let me tell you, nothing has escaped his gaze. He knew it long in eternity past what this world would look like tonight in the 21st century, in 2023. It didn't surprise him. Men rejected him when he rode into the city of Jerusalem to be crucified on Friday. There were those that held him and threw out the palm branches and spread them out in their cloaks for Jesus to ride through. But let me tell you, there was that group that day. They had already plotted and planned. They could not accept the fact that he claimed to be God himself in human flesh. And that rankled everything about Jesus to that group of Pharisees, that group of religious leaders. Let me tell you, Jesus is the pre-existent Word of God. He has always been and he always will be. He's the pre-existent Word of the living God. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Well, I only got through the first point of my 3-point sermon tonight. Now, I don't want to just give you all the load on the first night. So we got through three verses. We'll pick this up next Sunday night on point number two. And so as we go through the book of John, I hope that it will be something that will be meaningful to your heart, because John speaks about the divine character of who Jesus Christ is. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they write more about the miracles, they write more about his teachings, and John takes it from a whole different view, and he speaks about this divine character of Jesus, God robed in human flesh. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you stand as we pray? Ken, if you will come and lead us in something, we're going to have a time of invitation. If you are here tonight and you need to make a decision for Christ, or come and join the church, or come down to the altar to pray, just let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you tonight. Father, thank you for these verses that we've looked at, but what these verses mean, what they encompass in our hearts and in our lives. Oh God, we praise you, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, we exalt you. Thank you. Thank you, holy, precious God, that you reconcile this world through coming, robing yourself in human flesh, dwelling with us in 100% humanity in order to identify with the struggles we go through, in order to identify with all of the temptations we go through. And you were tempted as we are, yet you without sin. Oh God, as we study the book of John, burn it deeply within our hearts and within our minds. And God, as we wake up tomorrow morning, may we be able to wake up and say, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you for another breath. Thank you for another step. What can I do for you today? Holy Father, help me today to do something for you rather than you having to do something for me every time I call up with a prayer. Oh God, bless us in our studies together in the days to come. May we grow in grace. May we grow in knowledge from your word. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.